Daniel chapter 1. Go there with me in the Word of God, would you? Daniel chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 3, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, such as had ability to in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Take the Bible and serve it on the table of our hearts, that every single one of us might eat and be filled and strengthened. Thank you for what we've already experienced. If we went home now, we're better for it. But you have something for us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to listen. Keep the devil from interfering. Touch us. Give us what we need today. Somebody in the building doesn't know Jesus. Might today be the day that one comes to a saving knowledge of the truth. We love you and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So much for standing. The clash of Christianity and culture. I wonder if anybody would signify by an uplifted hand, you experienced some of that clash this week. Somebody say amen. You're a Christian, you're going to clash with culture, because Christianity comes from Christ and doesn't move, and culture comes from people and moves all the time. So we find ourselves in Daniel chapter 1, watching one of the many places in Scripture where culture and Christianity clash. It is the conflict that you and I are living in every day. The closer you get to Christ, the further you're going to get from the world. Let me mention, that does not mean we're Pharisees. It doesn't mean we look down on people. It doesn't mean we demean people or belittle people. Were it not for the grace of God, we'd all be going to a devil's hell. Aren't you glad he looked beyond your faults and saw your need? Aren't you glad he saved you? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians chapter 2. "And you had he quickened who were what? Dead." Listen to me. I don't care if you were a churchgoer. I don't care if you were born in a Christian home. I don't care if you were religious. I don't care if you were moral. It doesn't matter if you did better than most people do. If you were a pretty upstanding person, you were free-hearted, you were charitable, you were sympathetic to people's needs. If you had died without Christ, you have gone to the same hell that a whoremonger or a liar or a murderer or a cheater will go to. Listen to me. You don't go to hell because you're a bad person. You go to hell because you are lost without Jesus Christ. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person, right? You go to heaven because you're going on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But verse number 10 says, "We are his workmanship." The word literally means masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God didn't save you just to go to heaven. He saved you here to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We're living in a dark world. We're living in the end time. We're living amongst perilous situations. We're living in an immoral, idolatrous, insensitive society. But that doesn't change the standard for the believer. Aren't you glad that the rule book hadn't changed? The world is changing. People are changing. Fads are changing. Trends are changing. Paradigms are changing. Norms are changing, but I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I wish somebody to say amen. And so here is the book of Daniel, situated in the place called Babylon. Last week we looked at the challenging placement. A worthy Lord made this decision. Three kings mentioned in this passage: Jehoiakim, king of Judah; Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, lowercase king. But the real king mentioned in verse number 2 is the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. By the way, he sits on a throne that he's never going to get booted off of. And so wicked leadership is in charge. A wayward land is involved. Worldly lifestyles are popularized. And this is the placement of these children. Today I want you to look at what I call cultivated preparation. You're taking notes this morning, cultivated preparation. Now look at the specifics of what Nebuchadnezzar is looking for. Look at verse number 3. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, his master of the eunuchs. Let's understand what's happening. King Nebuchadnezzar is delegating his head man, the master of his eunuchs, to go to Judah with a very specific mission. Look at verse number 3. That he should bring certain of the what? Certain of the what? So these are young folk. We don't get a specification in Scripture how old they were. Theologians, as I've studied, believe that there could be anywhere from 15 to 21. These are kids. Bring certain of the children. Notice he didn't say just bring children. He said bring certain of the children. And of the king's seed. And of the princes. And the Bible says children, verse number 4, in whom was no blemish, well favored, skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. I want you to get this morning, that the preparation involved for these children who would clash with culture and conquest as Christians was that they, number one, had stellar examples. Children in whom was no blemish, well favored. Now look at Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to go to Judah and get kids. But get some good looking kids. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar's pretty picky, isn't he? I mean, I don't want him to have any blemish. I want you to look at him. Now watch this now. If he had gotten over to Judah and seen children with blemishes that weren't considered well favored, his instruction from the king is leave them. Superior excellence. Verse 4 again. Skillful in wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and apply it to make right decisions. You know, the world is full of smart people that don't make them wise. By the way, a lot of churches are that way too. Just because you know a lot doesn't mean you have wisdom. See, wisdom is to take all that you know and do something good with it. College will teach you knowledge. Only God can give you wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally, and abradeth not, and shall be given him. Wisdom comes from Almighty God. Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom crieth without, she utters her voice in the streets, saying, how long will ye simple ones love simplicity, and your fools hate knowledge, and scorners have their scorning? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. The picture depicted in Proverbs chapter 1 is that wisdom is going down into the streets and crying out to people, you need me, you need me, you need me. Listen to me, beloved. All around you every day, wisdom is crying out, you need me. How does it cry out? It cries out through this word. According to Proverbs chapter 13, it cries out through wise people. If I want wisdom, you know what I need to do? Find some wise people and hang around them. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You can't fly with the eagles if you run with the buzzards. And there are a lot of believers trying to figure out why they can't fly. Well, you're not going to fly if you run around with people that crawl. If I want to fly, I need to hang around some flyers. Come on now. Now, I didn't do everything right when I was a kid, but I learned from my mom and dad, you better find somebody that's on fire for the Lord and get around them. Find out where their joy comes from. Find out where their excitement comes from. Mark them which cause divisions, Romans says. We got to avoid, listen to me, we don't look down on people, but anybody that pulls you down, listen to me, somebody wise said, I can do bad all by myself. Is that in Proverbs? No, it's not. Chapter 32, huh? Anyway, it's not written like that in Proverbs, but it's all throughout the Bible. But Amnon had a friend. And his friend was his cousin, Jonadab. And his cousin convinced him to do physically what he was already thinking about mentally. I wish somebody would say amen. If you have a friend that is urging you to do the things physically that you already are tempted to do emotionally and mentally, you need to cut that friend off, because your flesh already wants to do the wrong thing, thoughts to do the wrong thing, desires to do the wrong thing. Oh, pastor, I never have any desires to do the wrong thing. You're lying. Everybody desires to do the wrong thing. Let no man say when he is tempted. not if he's tempted. Let no man say when he is tempted, that he's tempted of God. God does not tempt any man of sin, neither can he be tempted of sin. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed in sin. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Amnon was already having feelings for his sister he had no business having. Ada, you agree with that? Amnon was having feelings for his sister he shouldn't have been having. Now, I'm not picking on Amnon, because every single one of us has had thoughts in our mind that we shouldn't have had this week. Okay, you're going to always lose the battle in your mind first. And the battle the devil is waging, he's waging in our minds. So that battle in our mind, and we battle that thought life. That's why Colossians chapter 3, set your affections on things which are above. Seek heavenly things and not things that are on the earth. Romans chapter 12, be renewed in your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, of good report, lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Next verse, and the things that thou hast seen and heard in me, do. Listen to me. The pathway to doing right is thinking right. And if you won't think right, you won't do right. If you're thinking wrong, you're going to do wrong. And if you got friends that are going to take your wrong thinking and tempt you to have wrong doing, they need to be friends no more. Years ago, I used to preach on music a lot and developed a message on music that I preach all around the country. The young people, I did demonstration on the piano and did things about music. And I made the statement that the biggest struggle among young people that pulls them down is bad music. And then I started preaching longer and I changed it. I said the biggest struggle among young people that pulls them down is bad friends. And most of the time, their introduction to bad music came from bad friends. Now I'm changing it again. Not too much. And I'm just changing the category, not the category of friends, but the category of to whom I'm applying it. The biggest struggle, not just with young people, is friends. The biggest struggle with people in general, because there's a whole bunch of grown folk up in here got bad friends. Preach, pastor. No, I want you to say that. I was a preach pastor. You say amen. No, I'm telling you to say preach pastor. Who are you running with? And nowadays, you don't have to go hang out with them. You just follow them on social media. Thank you. What mountain? Your friends will pull you. I don't care how spiritual you are. What took you 10 years to build will take you 10 minutes to lose. Who are you running with? Got you believing nonsense. Questioning obvious, simple things. Lost people got it figured out better than you. You got the Holy Spirit of God. You've quenched them so long. You've grieved them so many times. You can't even put two and two together and make four. And you swear it's five because some knucklehead told you 2 + 2 = 5. Bad math will get you in trouble. Amen. You don't know how to add. You don't have the right money in your pocket. Now, right money in your pocket, you get up in line and get embarrassed because you got so many groceries, but you can't pay for them. And let me tell you something. We're trying to fight the devil loading up the grocery cart, but we don't have enough spiritual revenue to pay for it. You can't make up money in the Christian life. The unsearchable riches of God's grace can only come from heaven, and he only gives it to those who will walk uprightly. Here's what I want you to get this morning. Stellar examples, superior excellence. Notice the specified expectation. Such it had ability to stand in the king's palace. The implication here is the physical strength and stamina, the mental fortitude to withstand the rigor of the palace. They would be standing up all day. They would go through the scrutiny that only the best of the best could sustain. Notice the supposed education. Whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. This was a difficult language. This was a challenging culture. The Chaldean language, most of whom populated where Babylon's realm and domain was a very sophisticated, tough, complex language. Please listen. So King Nebuchadnezzar says, go to Judah, where God's people live, and go get me kids. But before you go to their houses and pick them up to bring them back to Babylon, you might want to stop past their schools and pull their transcripts. And then check with their parents and see what kind of workers they are around the house. And then go past where they work and see what kind of performance they have in the workforce. Please don't miss this. Here's what Nebuchadnezzar is saying. Because if they stinking it up in Judah, they're going to stink it up in Babylon. Now look here, and I'm going to let you go home. Here's what I want everybody to understand. The devil and the world are after God's children. I said the devil and the world are after God's children. See, the devil don't want no duds. And I'm not saying that if you're not saved, you're a dud. Because I've met some saved duds. And we've all been saved duds at times. But here's what I'm saying. Don't think because you're sitting up here in the church, carrying your King James Bible, Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when you die, you'll be Baptist dead, that the devil has marked you off his scout list. Listen to me. Here's what I'm telling you. The further you get up the list on living for God, the higher draft pick you become for Satan. We better wake up and understand we're under attack. This church is on the devil's radar because we preach the Bible. I said, because we preach the Bible, and we're not going to quit preaching it. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. This will never be a church where we focus on politics or opinions. And I'm not going to put a box out on the table in the foyer and ask you what you want me to talk about. I would if this were a town hall, but this is not a town hall. This is a church. This is a pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I'm interested in preaching messages that are relevant, but I don't need coaxing or information from people to find out relevant messages, because the source from which I preach, according to Hebrews chapter 4, is alive. And if it's alive, that means it's timeless. And if it's timeless, that means it's unchangeable. And if it's unchangeable, that means it's immutable. And if it's immutable, it must be based on the character of someone that's immutable. And it's based on the character of Almighty God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh. But watch this now. Now we have the living Word of God. All scriptures give by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. No scripture came by private interpretation, but holy men of God, as they were moved by the Spirit. You read Peter's writing, if you would, every once in a while. And Peter talked about when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he said, the glory of God shone down. You remember that passage? It's written in several of the Gospels when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to that mountain, and the glory of God shone down. And Jesus' light lit up face was so bright that Peter said, could we just build three tents right here and stay a while? And Moses and Elijah showed up right there. And all of a sudden, God started speaking and saying, this is my beloved son. Poof, there went Elijah. Poof, there went Moses. And Peter, James, and John looked up and said, we saw nobody save Jesus only. I hope when you come to Crossroads Baptist Church, you hear the pastor, you hear the choir members, you hear the testifiers, but in your spirit, somewhere along the line, poof, there goes the pastor. Poof, there goes the choir members. Poof, there go the testifiers. And you leave here having seen nobody save Jesus only. What a joy it was to be on that Mount of Transfiguration and see Jesus high and lifted up. But you read Peter's writing in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, it was real bright that day, and we saw very clearly. He said, but now we have a more sure word of prophecy, as bright as the light was on Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. We got a brighter light today. And that light is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And you better hope you never get so crazy to go chasing some church that gives you more hip hop, boogie down gyration than they give you the precious word of God. And so we can fill up people with the word of God, but we cannot take them off Satan's radar. And here's what the devil wants. Get the best of the best from Judah and bring them over here to Babylon so we can take their good old Israelite brains and fill them with Babylonian information. And that's why we have people who've been in church for 30 years walking away from church. Walk away from God. Young people who know the truth acting like they never heard it. Not for the grace of God, that's you and me. You be in church on Sunday and in a cult next Sunday. If you don't wake up. That's what everybody is now, right? Everybody woke, huh? They woke to the wrong stuff. Stop telling everybody you woke. Wake up to righteousness. Romans chapter 13. Awake to righteousness, and guess what the result is? And sin not. Psalm 4. Stand in awe and sin not. I'm woke now. I'm woke now. Read your Bible since you woke. Pray since you woke. Fight the devil since you woke. Stand for God. You taking notes? Anybody taking notes in here? Okay. Stellar example. Superior excellence. What's the next one? I close my Bible. Huh? Specified expectation. Yes. I don't feel like opening my Bible again. Let me remember what the next point was. Supposed education. Chaldean. And here's the last thing I want you to get. But there's a sovereign explanation. Because some critic in here is going to go, why would God let him go there? Why would God subject those Hebrew children to such a cesspool of sin? Why wouldn't God just let them stay in Judah where there was a temple, where there was godly teaching, where there was a legacy? Do you realize in Babylon there was no temple? They could sing no hymns. In Babylon was this egotistical, narcissistic, self-proclaimed, pompous leader who got so high God had to put him in the ground like an animal. Sounds a lot like our leaders today. Somebody say amen. You're living in the same world I'm living in. Everybody's so full of themselves. Not just in the world, in the church too sometimes. Pastors are shepherds, but they're not gods. Why would God send those boys there if he knew that they would be indoctrinated with nonsense? Here's what I want you to get. You can go home. Here's King Nebuchadnezzar trying to reach into Judah, get the best of the best to teach those Hebrew boys how to be Babylonians. That's little King Nebuchadnezzar. But big King Jehovah had another plan. While little King was reaching for Hebrew kids to bring them from Judah into Babylon to make them into Babylonians, big King Jehovah was sending them from Judah to Babylon, not so they could become Babylonians, but so that Judah could tell Babylon what God was all about. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You need to be smart. You need to be stellar. You need to have a good example. You need to do your work. You need to be godly. You need to learn the Bible. That's going to put you on the devil's radar, and he's coming after you because he knows the better you are in Judah, the better you'll be in Babylon if he can convert you. But don't worry about his attempts, because he's not stronger than God. He's got a plan, but God's always got a bigger plan. He wants to get you out of the church and into the world and make you worldly. God wants to keep you in the church and send you from the church into the world, not for you to be worldly, but for you to make the world like Jesus. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. Yes, it's dark. Yes, it's wicked. Yes, it's ungodly. Yes, we're full of false religion. Yes, that mess out there of immoral madness has got a lot of Christians wondering what they should believe. But I'm glad that there are still some Daniels, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednegos that'll recognize the darker the night, the brighter the light. The worse it gets, the more we stand out. The further they get from God, the more recognized they'll be. They'll see that we've been with Jesus. And somebody can lead Crossroads Baptist Church and walk in the grocery store, walk in the shopping mall, walk on the job, and even get on social media if you use it the right way, and let the world know, y'all dark, y'all crazy, y'all say this, y'all say that, but we still believe the Bible, we still believe God is true. Let me tell you something, when it's real dark at night, just a little cell phone flashlight stands out. If you've gotten to the point as a Christian where you don't stand out anymore, you may be too cool for school, because listen to me now, the world is too dark for you to be any decent Christian and not stand up. And so God knows what he's doing. He's got an explanation for why he still has us in this crazy world. They think we're crazy and we need to be like them. God knows they're crazy. And they need to be like him. And when we say crazy, we're not trying to talk bad about people, because we're crazy too. But the devil's crazy. And the stuff that's becoming popularized in our world today is crazy. This book is not crazy. I said this book's not crazy. It's still right. It's still real. And yes, beloved, it's still relevant. The agenda has not changed. It was that in Daniel 1, and it's now. And by the way, not just the kids, adults too. The devil wants your sold out, biblically informed self to be taken from the stability of the work of God into the mess that he has out there. My question is, who's going to fight? Have you ever read Daniel chapter 1? My studies tell me that perhaps, I can't guarantee it, 10,000 children were taken from Judah to Babylon. Some theologians estimate 10,000. Here's my question. Why do we only know the names of four of them? Because the rest of them must have just fit in. And that's where we are today. A bunch of people that are God's children, but only a few here and there who refuse to fit in. I want to be in the refuse group. This is probably, I feel so closely the return of Christ. I can't even explain it. I mean, I would not be surprised if he came before I finish talking in a few minutes. And not that he needs my approval, but I just want to let him know I approve. I approve this message. If he doesn't come today, I'm convinced this is probably the last generation that will live before he comes. And I could be wrong. Paul thought he was coming back in 1 Thessalonians. So I don't know when he's coming, but good night. It sure feels like he's, I mean, like Gabriel is warming up the trumpet. And man, I'm out of here. I don't want to end badly. I want to just keep on moving up, so when he calls me, I just keep going up like I'm already going up. Isn't that what happened with Enoch? Enoch walked so much with God down here. God said, come on up here. You walking with me up here? You walking with me down here? Just come on up here. Shouldn't it be that? Won't it be special if we just leave here walking with God and then go to heaven, and our faith becomes sight, and we can look at Jesus and say, Jesus, I've never seen you before, but I've been talking to you every day. Let's pick up here right where we left off down there. You don't want him to find you sitting at the gate in Sodom and Gomorrah, sitting under a juniper tree, mad that people got saved. Come on. Sitting around the fire, denying that you know him. Betraying him for 30 pieces of silver. Walling around in the muck and mire of a whale's belly. Huh? In Moab because you left the place of safety. Trying to find bread when you already lived in Bethlehem, which is called the house of bread. You don't want to find him chasing the wrong people. Involved in the wrong thing. You want him to find you in a wicked world living for God. Let's make the commitment, and every single day, let's do better. Our Father, we love you, and we thank you. We bless your name. The devil is chasing your children. He wants to indoctrinate them with his teaching. And he wants Hebrew people to learn how to speak Chaldean. And he is exploiting the skills, the talents, and the abilities of your children for his benefit. Help us to refuse to cooperate with his agenda. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around.